The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast.
Michael, it's episode 200.
200.
And for episode 200, there's no better thing to do than make sure you're on it. And by doing that, unfortunately, it looks like the Tuckers couldn't make it. So that's pretty fucked.
This was not intentional.
Not intentional at all. We swear to God, not intentional. I'm going to Columbus this weekend to see Michael. We're running in a half marathon. We should have probably recorded yesterday. I ended up going to play in New York with my wife. Couldn't record yesterday, so episode 200 is just you and me, which I feel bad for the guys not being able to get on, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we have to make do.
And yet we persisted type shit, you know what I mean?
Always, always. We always persist, John.
Anyway, so a lot of big news. Look, NAFTA's back, NAFTA pod, episode 200, like we said before, it's going to be action-packed. We got some transfer talk. We got Dudes of the Week. Michael's going to finally give his 2 cents on Klopp and what's going on there. I know that you listened to our whole spiel. And then we're going to give you the preview or the review and then the preview for next week. So we got a lot to get into. Let's dive right in. Michael, Dudes of the Week, since you are first pod in like 3 episodes or so, 2 episodes, you can lead us off. You take the first dude.
Easy. Number one dude of the entire week, Connor Bradley. Right back, Liverpool stepping in, 2 assists and a goal, a nasty goal. A goal that our beloved Darwin Nunez would be super jealous of, especially in that game in particular. Slotted right in, 20 years old, off of a loan from Bolton. He got literally brought back because we needed a right back, and he's out there just performing left, right, and center. I think he already has 5 assists, John. It's pretty good.
Very, very impressive. Love that first dude of the week for sure. My first dude of the week goes to the Fulham socials team, who made the image or the whatever you want to call it, the IG post for when they signed Armando Broja. It said the Whites will be taking Armando Broja on loan for 6 months. And if you didn't know, Fulham's nicknamed the Whites, but if you're one of those people that had no idea what was going on, it's a pretty problematic sentence.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was a team outside of England.
No,
like the UK.
Yeah, no.
And then I saw Fulham. I saw him in a Fulham shirt, and I thought the original move fell through, and then he went to Fulham.
No. The Whites got it's kind of like New Zealand's rugby team called the All Blacks. Fulham's called the All Whites, but they don't mean it that way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So shout out to the Fulham team. That was pretty funny. My second dude of the week is someone we're going to talk about here in a minute. Gio Reyna, make the best of this, buddy. You know, keep Forrest up, score some goals. We need you to. We need you to show out because it's been tough. It's been tough being in the Reyna corner.
It's been tough.
It has. Tell me it hasn't.
I mean, I just think that whole family is a disaster at this point, so like I'm not shocked by it.
It is tough sledding to be a Reyna right now, but it's also, like I said, tough sledding to be in the Reyna corner, so to speak. But yeah, second dude of the week. Make the best of it. Go to Forest. They got 2 European titles. You'll never say that anywhere else he's been, so let's get going. Premier League. You know what happened the last time we brought an American over at January deadline window for the Premier League team?
What happened?
Leeds, they went down. So let's hope that doesn't get repeated.
Oh, shit. They brought 2, though, didn't they? It was McKennie and Adams.
Maybe it's 2 negatives don't make a positive, so to speak, type of thing. Maybe just 1 American keeps you up, 2 Americans send you down.
Yeah, I think McKennie showing up, nothing to do with him, obviously, because he is American, and I do love Weston McKennie, but 2 Americans on that team. Actually, they had 3, though. They had Brendan Aaronson, too, right?
Yeah, but they picked up. Yeah, fuck. I don't know.
They I don't really, know either.
And they had Jesse Marsh.
They could go down. Yeah, so just odd number of Americans.
Agreed.
Perfect. Anyway, enough of that, please, because we don't know what the fuck we're talking about. As I've been on a soccer hiatus for the most part, I've still been keeping up with Liverpool. So in terms of that, my next dude of the week is Diogo Jota, because this week he gets to play his favorite team in the world, and that is Arsenal, where he scores goals every single time they play. Hopefully he does the same again. He has had a great time in the team since Salah has been out. Obviously, he's back with an injury still. So I think there's a lot of chit-chat about him potentially playing the Arsenal game. I don't think he's going to start for sure. I don't even think he's going to play. I think they're going to let this team, who has scored 5 and 4 goals in the last two games, a chance to rock out against the Gunners at the Emirates. So I look forward to seeing Jota keep up the pace.
Shout to Jota. Who's your second?
Jurgen Klopp, because he's Jurgen Klopp, and I haven't got to talk about it yet. So,
which you will talk about in a second. So, again, more foreshadowing of some topics on the pod. All right, I'm going to pat myself on the back here and just talk about, honestly, like, how good of a person I am, how mature, how grown I am as a human being, and I really like to see things for what they are and have no bias. And I want to, again, like, it's just shout out to me. So it's kind of me being the dude of the week by saying that this guy's dude of the week, because, again, like, such a good person, John Whittaker, shout out to me. You got to give it to Kobbie Mainoo. Getting the game winning goal against Wolves for United. He's a teenager. Just was honestly the most offensive thing I've seen anyone do in a United shirt since the bicycle kick by Rooney against Man City. And the best part about it is, again, pat myself on the back for being a great guy and a good person and correct for shouting him out. He should be a dude of the week. But it's also a double positive, because you know that United fans are going to, like, take to this like piranhas and be like, we're back, we're back, we're back. Where
he's the best DM in the world.
Yeah. In all actuality, no offense, Dylan, you beat the 11th best team in the Premier League in the final minute. So,
yeah. Unfortunately, for Dylan, I was really, really pulling. I was actually at work and I was getting updates on my watch of, like, things going on. And I saw Nick say,
you set up notifications.
And I saw Nick's, well, I just text from our group.
Oh, okay.
So I saw Nick go pathetic, like, we're terrible, and I can't tell you the smile I gave to some 78-year-old woman, just like, oh, I know it's good. I know it's good news. And then I get to my phone, and I see 4-3, and I go, motherfucker.
I'm imagining you giving some poor woman her Prozac, just grinning at her like you're high as well. Just like, yeah.
I was like,
3-3, I know.
I was like, you don't know what I know. And she's like, oh, is this going to work? And I'm like, yeah, definitely, for sure.
Take one and call me in the morning.
Yeah, please.
All right. Dudes of the week done and dusted. Michael, there's no better place to start than... Actually, let's just talk about transfers. I don't know why the fuck I'm going into Klopp. That needs to be the last thing we do. Listen, it was quiet. There's so many, like, memes and shit about Fabrizio Romano going on, like, had nothing to do, essentially. The one we can talk about is Reyna to Nottingham Forest, like we mentioned before. What are your initial thoughts on that?
I think it's a situation where he's probably, we're gonna get so absolutely cooked by not Americans for this, but I think there is some evidence that he is talent wise a very good player. I mean, he lit it up. Oh, Jesus, he was very good at points at Dortmund. He had moments where he was, you know, had to be on the field, came off the bench, and had, like, a streak of where he scored a couple goals, assisted a couple goals. Can't really stay healthy, which is a huge issue always. But I think talent-wise, he's in that starting 11 for sure, okay? He has to get there, and he has to, like, play in the system correctly. He has to stay healthy. He has to, at the same time, contribute too. Because, you know, you could be more talented, but if you're not scoring or assisting or doing, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. So I think this is, like, I don't want to say it's like his last chance or anything, but like it's his last chance until, if he doesn't do well, he's going to have an absolute hill to climb to get back into like a top team. Like this, if he plays well at Forest, he could still get into a top team at the end of this year. But if he doesn't do well, it's like a year or two process at the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to be like, this is the last dance or the last chance for someone who's only 21. And I know that soccer ages people much quicker than maybe even other sports, but definitely just the world. I don't feel old. I'm 34. But for him, it is one of those things to like what you said. Like if this doesn't work, this can either be a catapult or this can be an anchor for sure. And if he does really, really well with this team, you know, you can see him going back to a bigger club, a la maybe a Milan club, maybe Juventus, maybe somewhere in France, something like that. Do I think that he is, and I think our co-hosts are going to be a little pissed at me for this comment. I don't think he sniffs the lineup for a team in the top eight of the Premier League, to be honest with you, consistently enough. Like, I don't see where and how inconsistently he has played. Like, I can't justify being like, no, you should be there for sure. You know,
it's funny because there's so many, he doesn't play like a position individually. Like he can kind of play like an attacking mid. He can kind of play a wing, can kind of play like a false nine. But he doesn't do, he's kind of like Pulisic in a weird way. Except I think he's like more talented than Pulisic. But Pulisic has, you know, Pulisic has like some history. He has like some output and stuff like that. And he doesn't get hurt, you know, very, I guess he got hurt a lot at Chelsea, but for the US he doesn't get hurt. So it's a little bit different. Weirdly enough, I totally agree with you. He would need to play in a team like Liverpool where the positions are kind of fluid and he can move out wide, he can go inside, he can go up top a little bit. Now, is he better than, and again, there's other teams that are fluid. I don't want to just make this because I'm a Liverpool fan. But there's he needs to go to a team that is also playing in that sort of style where you can get the best out of him, because I just don't think if you put him on the right wing, you put him in attacking mid, he's going to be like the best attacking mid. He could move around with some other players and really make that system work. But I don't know if he's going to be able to do that at Forest, to be honest. So that's why I'm a little hesitant.
So I think Iwani is back somewhat.
Which is great for them.
He's going to be back with, yeah, it's really, really great for them. I will say this, like, it's good that he's going to be next to Gibbs White. I don't think he plays in the center if Gibbs White's there. I think he's going to be on that right side.
Yeah.
And he's got to outplay Nico Williams, which, again, easier said than done. He's a Premier League player, like, you know.
Hudson-Odoi, Alanga, also over there. Danilo, right? Yeah. What's his name?
He is. Danilo's the more defensive mid, though.
Yeah, and so is Nico Williams. Nico Williams is like a right back, right wing back. So, like, I think he's more, obviously more offensive than Nico Williams, but like they have a lot of different options in different types of players and those positions. So they're not married to anybody or any one style. So, mm-hmm. you know, he kind of has the floor, but he just has to do something. Like he has to do something with it and he has to stay healthy.
Yeah. Also, I don't know how soon he's going to suit up for them, but first game back is going to be Bournemouth. That'll be a good game to get him going on.
It's
going to be honest.
It's going to be tough. That's actually kind of where he needs to go.
Yeah. I mean, we say that and personally, like the best American, maybe Tyler Adams, like obviously injured, but we don't even know if that's going to work yet. You know what I'm saying? So we'll have to see.
For sure. I agree.
Any other transfers you want to chat about?
The only other thing, we just real quick, RIP to Matt Turner.
Yeah.
Because they just got Matt Sells. Yeah. So it might not be the next game, but it's coming because he has been less than good.
That's an understatement, man. It just has to be such a tough position because he was playing so, so well before this season, and wasn't even getting the time at Arsenal, but playing so well for the United States, the U.S. national team. You want to know the game that I thought was a catalyst for his like downfall and demise a little bit? I don't know if you guys remember this, and I don't have the exacts on it, but like that second leg against Trinidad and Tobago, or the two legs against them, like he kind of looked weird then, and then it all kind of started going downhill from there.
Yeah, if I can find it, I'm pretty sure. I want to say that happened after he came out of the box against Liverpool and just completely missed the ball, and then we scored a goal on it. And I really don't want that to be the actual beginning, but I weirdly feel like after that I was kind of like, what the fuck is he doing? And then I started watching him a little bit more, and I was kind of like, might be a little bit of a fraud, but...
Yeah. Well, we don't know. I mean, look, we thought we had the guy in Stefan. He made the huge mistake, and now, like, I feel bad for him. Like, I think his confidence is totally shot. I don't even know. I mean, he's going to Colorado, I believe, the Rapids coming up.
Yeah.
But he hasn't played in a competitive match, I feel like, in a long time. The problem with these goalkeepers for the U.S. is, like, that's the deepest position we have. Like, there's Ethan Horvath, who they just got rid of, too, Forrest. He's going, I think, I saw to Birmingham or... Blackburn, maybe. It was a blue team. He's in there. They got a few other keepers. Like, that's the one where it's like, if you screw up, man, I'm totally open to trying anyone else. Because that's a position that we actually have some talent at. But, yeah, Matt Turner, RIPIP, at this moment, he might Undertaker himself, come back to life. You never know. We'll have to see.
Confirmed, Liverpool was October 29th, was benched the next two Prem games, and then Trinidad and Tobago was right after.
Yeah, yeah, so that Liverpool game might have actually been it. Speaking of Liverpool, Michael, we talked about Klopp last step. You didn't get a chance to come on. He's obviously, like I said he's done at the end of the year, walking away, taking his staff with him. As the resident Liverpool fan, want to get your thoughts on that.
First and foremost, I wish I could have made a video post listening to the pod, because I had so many thoughts about what, in particular, what Nick was trolling about, but it was a troll at the end of the day, which is fine. The documentary thing, I'm pretty sure that they were approached about that in December, or like they started filming it in December, and Klopp had told them like November, October, that, you know, he thinks that this was it for him. I think it probably was more of a, like, since you're leaving, like, can we do this? Because I think they would have respected if he said, I don't do this or I'm leaving. I think they would have not done the documentary. Although, I don't know that for sure. But I think it's either or. I don't think that's what making him leave the club. In terms of, like, who's going to replace him, I'm so like torn about, if obviously if you get like Alonso and it works, then great, obviously, because it works and it's obviously gonna be the next step or at least a different step in success. I'm really worried that if they do hire him, which I think they will end up getting him, because they'll just go all out, and it doesn't work, then you are like in trouble. Like, you're really in trouble. Because then I don't know who else you get. So I'm more thinking immediately from the time that it happened and it was announced on who is it going to be next. Because, like, you know, I don't have any malice towards Klopp at all. Like, if he wants to leave now, go ahead, brother. You know, do what you want. You're the boss.
Do you, how are you thinking about it? Because, like, we'll be honest, like, we haven't had this pod ever in a non-Klopp at Liverpool world. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of God, how do I describe this? All right, it's kind of like I'm a little bit excited.
Hold on. Something just happened.
You want me to pause?
I think. Huh?
You want me to pause?
It says I had an audition error. But it says it's recording.
Are you talking and it popping? Is it like popping up that you're speaking?
Yeah, I'm fine. Never mind. Dude, this is a fucking abortion. All right.
Yeah, that's why I got GarageBand, baby.
Yeah, dude, you're actually really showing me. This could be a total fucking shit show, to be honest.
Sorry.
With you.
I think the way I'm looking at it, I guess, is part of me is excited to see what other things we can do with these players. Because I know, like, Gakpo doesn't get a ton of time. He comes off the bench, like, every game for the most part. Sometimes he'll start a cup. Luis Diaz, like, what is he going to do in a system where, like, if you look at Alonso's Leverkusen, like, they don't really have wingers. And then the same with Salah. I think the Virgil thing was completely, like, out of context. Like, I don't think he was saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think he was kind of stressing that, like, he hopes the club, you know, take it seriously and get somebody that can work with everybody. Like, it's, you know, it's a big decision. I don't know what Trent's going to do. You know, there's a lot of ifs and a lot of uncertainty. And I think that's, like, terrifying. But I'm also, it could work, be, like, awesome. So I don't know. We won't know until you know. And like I said, it could go really bad, but it could also be great. So I'm like a little bit, just get to the end of the season, have a great season, and then give him, whoever it is, you know, time and let him do what he wants. And then hopefully you guys make the right decision. Cause like at the end of the day, I'm not moving any needles.
Yeah. In your mind, who else should be considered outside of Alonso?
I think if I'm picking Alonso, I think De Zerbi, just by, you know, he's at least been in the Prem, but like I think you can have the same argument with like Chelsea signing Pochettino or Potter. It's just not the same. Just going club to club. Now that being said, like going to Chelsea from anywhere, I think it's just a toxic job. I think it's a toxic club in general. So I think there's a little bit easier if you're moving from like Brighton to Liverpool. De Zerbi would be able to play exactly how he wanted to play. They already have you know, players that can kind of play in that style. And then after that, I heard like the Nagelsmann thing, and I don't know too much about Julian Nagelsmann too, like as a coach, apart from like when he was at Bayern and now he's with Germany. The one that I did see was Tuchel. I don't want Thomas Tuchel anywhere near that job. Like I don't care how charismatic. I think he overstays his welcome every single club he goes to. And if he's gonna do that, if he's gonna do that, then it's gonna be like 10 games of like looking pretty good, and then I'm just gonna be annoyed that he's there. So I don't want that at all.
Yeah, I feel like he's always a roller coaster. Where's, and I'll give you the questions I asked them. What's next for Klopp, in your opinion?
I think it's pretty straightforward. I think he's not going to coach another club team for a couple years. I think after the Euros, he probably gets the next job he will take. If he's going to, is the German job.
Yeah.
Like in the next 2 years, if he's going to have a job, it's going to be the Germany job. But I think if he gets another club job, it's probably going to be in Germany, and it's probably going to be like a mid team, or I don't think he'd go to Bayern. I agree with you. And he obviously won't go anywhere in the Prem. And I don't think he'll go anywhere in England, period. So
not even Wales, like Dylan said.
That was like kind of interesting, but that's, I know people are really like Wrexham, like they're doing really well too right now, and they definitely, you know, could and maybe like will get promoted this year into League One. Is it, does it go Championship 1-2 or 2-1?
1-2.
Okay, so into League One. I think that's still like 5 years away, that at yeah. best that they could get into the Prem. So
yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think Nick brought it up. Does Team USA have a shot to get anyone good as a coach?
I don't think Klopp would ever take that job, and it depends on what you mean by good. Because, like, I think Mourinho would take that job.
I'm with you. I think Mourinho would take that. I actually think Pep might. Pep likes living in the U.S. Lived in New York for a whole summer.
I mean, Pep would be good because Pep's a great coach. But I don't like the idea of Mourinho being the coach. It's just not what I enjoy watching.
Yeah, agreed.
So
I totally agree with you there. Man, it'll be weird watching Liverpool.
I can't wait. Part of me is like, I can't wait till I know what happens. But like, yeah. I'm also like, that's terrifying.
Did you reach out to your Liverpool Groove brothers?
No, I didn't. I haven't really been on social media though. I gotta take this off. They're so itchy. Killing me. They're literally killing me.
They had a good take on it, which I should clip this and tag them in. It's like, I don't know. I mean, Liverpool fans are usually going to have a pretty good perspective on things like this, because I feel like, albeit we joke that you guys complain about everything, there is a pretty apparent history that the north of England gets fucked over in anything that you want to describe. Go watch The Crown. You'll learn. But they're just like, yeah, it's part of the evolution of a butterfly, essentially. You know? You're a caterpillar, yeah. You go into a cocoon, you become a butterfly, then the offspring are caterpillars and they go to cocoon. Like, it's how it works.
You know what? Actually, now that I think about it, I'm most looking forward to it, the near future in which the PGOML is just like topping us off every single game because Klopp's leaving. I can't wait. It's going to be so sick. We get every call.
That'd be sick. That's a great.
It's already happening.
When you go into a pitch deck for your next coach, that's a great like bullet to have on there. They're going to be so pumped that Klopp's gone, you're going to get every call.
Yeah, well, it's written in the script, you know, like the NFL script is such a big thing. Now it's the Prem script because Klopp's leaving. We're going to get everything. And you know what? We deserve it. Go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
All of you.
Yeah. I can't wait for the new Liverpool coach to like go in midfield on the first game of the season, get double vaxxed there, yeah. and then start a insurrection in England for the North.
Yeah. And then we'll get a penalty for that. Like, they'll award us a penalty.
Yeah. I like where this is perfect. Going. This is good. I could be on board with this.
I think it's a great idea.
All right. Klopp, gone. Dudes of the week, done. Transfers, over. Let's get into this past week's games. We had a full slate. There were a few shocking results, for sure, and a few that were just pretty standard. We pulled two of them out. We're going to talk a little bit about Liverpool too, but there's two big ones that we want to talk about. Let's first get into the fly-throughs. Forest and Arsenal, a 2-1 win for the Gooners. A Jesus goal in the 65th, Saka in the 72nd, put them 2-0 up. Iwani, like I mentioned before, 89th minute. Hopefully he can get the score in for Forest to keep him up. 0-0, Fulham-Everton. You know we're going to move right along there. Palace in a thriller, a 3-2 win against Sheffield United. Diaz scored in the first minute for Sheffield. They went 1-0 up, obviously. Eze tied it up in the 17th. 3 minutes later, McAtee takes Sheffield back up 2-1. Eze again in the 27th to tie it back up. And Elise in the 67th. That team goes as those two players go. If they're on, Palace can beat some bad teams. If they're off, Palace can lose to some bad teams. City 3-1 over Burnley. The first match back for Vincent Kompany in Man City. Does not go as planned. Julian Alvarez on his birthday, a brace, 16th minute and 22nd minute. Rodri, 35 seconds into the second half, takes him up 3-0. And then a third-minute stoppage time goal for Burnley with, is that Dakil? Dakil? Do you know how to pronounce his name?
Anyway. I think it's Dakil. Yeah, I think so.
Shout out to Burnley. Probably going to go down. Villa, Newcastle. Well, a game we thought was going to be good, but for some reason, Newcastle are just the kryptonite to Aston Villa. Shar goal in the 32nd and 36th minute put Newcastle up 2-0. A Moreno own goal in the 52nd gave them all three. Ollie Watkins gets one back in the 71st. There were a few goals that were called back in this one. It was chippy. The offside trap not working against Newcastle like Nick predicted. I'll give him his flowers there. Tottenham, 3-2 win over Brentford. Maupe in the 15th minute caused a ruckus at the stadium. Udogie tied it up in the 48th. Brennan Johnson put him up 2-1 in the 49th. Richarlison still scoring in the 56th, 3-1 Tottenham. And then Ivan Toney stays on the score sheet in the 67th minute, 3-2 win for Tottenham. West Ham Bournemouth, 1-1. Dom Solanke, he should have, I mean, I'm glad Bournemouth kept him, but again, the best striker not at a top team in all of the Premier League. I will stand on business there. Goal in the third minute. James Ward-Prowse, 61st minute penalty. A tie, 1-1 there. And then Liverpool, a 4-1 drubbing. Absolute drubbing. Jota in the 23rd. Bradley in the 39th. Szoboszlai in the 65th. A very good goal there. Nkunku with the only goal for Chelsea. It was 3-1. And then Diaz in the 79th minute, 4-1. Let's go back to the beginning. Michael. Arsenal, they got to win this game. I think it's pretty straightforward. Like we mentioned before, good signs for Forest at the very least that Iwaniyi is scoring. That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the momentum. You can look at the shots. You can look at, you know, XG, whatever. Arsenal dominated them. You know, maybe three shots on goal, same as Nottingham Forest. That's kind of just soccer. Like, you know, that might just happen. But... No, I mean, until the very end, you know, if you're Arsenal, you're kind of like, man, that would have been like a really, really good performance if we didn't give up that kind of shitty goal at the end. But like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it was dominance. So,
yeah, I'll say this too. Like, if this was a season that didn't have these three teams that went up and a team that lost 10 points, Forest would be going down. And I think we're still waiting to see if they're going to lose points too, but... This team's not very good. Hopefully Reyna coming in gets them a little bit more firepower, but it's not just the offense. They leak goals almost every week. So still a lot of work to do at Nottingham Forest. Fulham Everton 0-0. Like I said, not going to talk about it, but Everton's on a weird... They're back into... I have no idea what to do with these motherfuckers. So
yeah,
that's all for there.
We don't talk about these.
Yeah. Palace 3-2. Like I said, Eze, Elise, if they're going, this team's at least difficult. They're at least, they got some fight in them. But to give up two goals to, I think, the worst team in the Premier League is tough.
Yeah. I want to shout out Diaz. He's on a very short, but kind of long at the same time list of people who scored like in the first 5 minutes of these games this week. It was pretty wild. I actually think this is big for Palace because what did they go? They went behind two different times, 1-0 and 2-1, and they fought back. Elise and Eze are just outrageously good. I think Eze's, I mean, if you have to pick one, I think Eze's probably the better player overall. I think if you need a right winger, Elise is your guy, obviously. But I think this is a big result for them because they have been horrible, and this is a game that they absolutely needed to win, and they did, so...
Yeah, real bad. Not just an Elise goal. He had both assists for Eze's goals, too. So, big game for him there. City 3-1 win. Again, these are the bottom-feeding teams. Man City have to win these games, obviously, and they usually do. My one comment, and I said it to you right afterwards, I was like, we can't buy a clean sheet this year. Just can't do it.
Yeah. It's weird because I'm going to bring something up in like the Liverpool game, but it's kind of weird how De Bruyne, when you don't have Haaland, you have to play a different way because, like, obviously he's not, like, the target and the guy getting all the goals and all that shit. But it's really hard to play with Haaland or without Haaland without De Bruyne. And De Bruyne, mm-hmm. that's why De Bruyne is, like, so much more important than even, I think, Rodri to however you guys want to play without Haaland, with Haaland, as Alvarez as your striker, etc. He can make any of those systems work. He is the best player on the field. And I think, like, you saw it in this game because those were sure, like, Haaland probably scores some of those goals, but just, like, the movement, Alvarez being able to play how he does, like, Haaland can't do the things that he does. And then overall, I just think you guys look more comfortable sometimes without him.
Yeah, it's more of a return to form before we had him. And people might not remember this. We won, you know, 4 Premier Leagues before we had Haaland too, with Pep. So it's not, like, you know, crazy or anything. What I'll say about Alvarez, and we posted a clip a while back. It was, I think, beginning of the season. And I think that I said, I was like, outside of Haaland, Doku may be, like, the best first-year player ever that Pep has. Because you know that he sits a lot of them, and like, they got to learn the system, and it usually takes people a while to get acclimated. And some guy argued with me. He was like, it's Julian Alvarez, and it's not even close. And I was like, okay, it's not Julian Alvarez. Like, Doku's having so much more of an impact at the beginning of the season. But he said, he was like, think about it this way. Julian Alvarez changed how he played, changed his position, essentially, and changed, like, how he wants to approach games so that he could get game time his first year, and did decent last year. And I was like, all right, fair point. Like, you might have gotten me there. When he has the ball in the box, it's so much more composed than Haaland. It's insane. And I know that you kind of feel that way, yeah, too, because I'm not at all comparing Julian Alvarez to Mo Salah, but your Mo Salah is my Julian Alvarez, and my Erling Haaland is your Darwin Nunez. That's just how it is.
Yeah. And yeah. And in those, I don't want to, this is not a dig, I swear to God, but, like, it is so true because just how the two teams play, we are, like, Nunez is, like, so vibes entertainment. Like, mm-hmm. Haaland is not composed, but, like, the output is, like, outrageous. Mm-hmm. And Nunez is just, like, not composed. And then you're just like, God, it just has to be so insane living in that head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I think, too, when Haaland scores, it's such a burst of energy that you're always sitting there like, oh, shit, I can't believe that just happened. Or, like, oh, my God, that's crazy. Whereas... Mm-hmm. With Julian with the ball and Mo Salah, I think maybe the pinnacle of what this feels like. I just actually feel like they're lethal, like they're killers. Like if you get the ball in open space with them in the box, the shooting percentage to goal is just, you know, so much higher. So
yeah,
good signs. Haaland also got some run in this game, which is going to be key for them. We're getting healthy, which is important because this is the most important run up to the end of the year. I want us to win 4 in a row just because it'd be nice to have the treble and something that Man United don't have, as always. We talked Villa already, didn't we? No, we did not.
No, we missed it. You missed it.
What's going on here? I thought you made a good point when we jumped on. I think you should repeat it.
This is like not concerning, I guess, but like, when they were in the top 2, top 3, and now just only dropped out of top 4, I'm pretty sure, right? Because I think Tottenham mm-hmm. are 4th now. Mm-hmm. I think it's completely fair to sit there and say they have a chance. You know, they have just as good a chance as anybody else. They can get top 4. They're playing, you know, over a calendar year better than everybody but you guys. Why can't they do it? And it's just... you're so good at home. You have... every reason in this game to be motivated because they smacked you guys up at St. James Park. you know, this is, should be a game you get up for. They're hurting. You know, they've lost a number of players. And you just, you kind of crumble, you know. And I don't think they played particularly bad, but, you know, you can't lose 3-1 at home to a team who beat you away and still kind of be considered in the running. That they're still obviously in top four, but, like, in the running with all those other same teams. Because, like, look at some of the games that Newcastle have lost away and at home this year. Like, you got to kind of rise above it if you want to be in that group. And maybe they're still a year away, and that's totally fine. They don't have the same expectations. But this is just, as somebody who wants to see Villa succeed, this is one where I was a little bit, like, let down by it, I would say.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the comment you made was, they're not in the running for the title. Like,
no,
I think that's fair. I think that's true and that's fair. And I think top four for sure. Champions League, absolutely. They can get it. I don't think they're not one or two the best teams in this league.
And I think too, at the same time, you hear everybody talking when they're second or first, saying they don't really have a chance. And part of you is kind of like, no, like, they do. Like, come on, give them a chance. They have a chance. They have a chance. This is the first time where I've been like, man, as somebody who is like, you guys can do it. You guys have the talent. This is the first time where I've been like, okay, you kind of let me down here. So
yeah,
it just kind of sucks because I hope they go on a 6-game win streak. Like, I want to see them in the top four for sure, but it kind of stinks.
It was the, Next Top Model, is that Tyra Banks? I'm going to totally expose myself here. But the popular meme where she's like, we were all counting on you, or we're all, like, pulling for you type of thing, and, like, you let us down. That's exactly how it is. Ange Ball, Tottenham 3-2 over Brentford. The main story here is Neil Maupay just with top-tier shithousery. First goal does James Madison's celebration. Can I be honest? If I'm James Madison, I don't get mad about that. Do you? Does
Neil Maupay?
I don't know. Like, do you really get mad that someone did? I guess it's against you. That's probably the reason. Whatever. But
Do you think he got mad? I think he was just, like, fucking with him.
No, if you watched the replay, like, they come together after he does the celebration, and it's not friendly.
Oh, see, I didn't get to watch this. I was at work.
Yeah, it was not good. And then every Tottenham goal afterwards, they made sure to do it.
To do it? Yeah. I saw Richarlison do it.
Brennan Johnson did it too. But, it was hilarious though. Like, say what you want about Neil Maupay. I don't dislike him. I don't necessarily think he's that good. But right after the game, they get Madison's comment, and he's like, he must not score enough goals to have his own celebration. And Maupay, without missing a beat, just, like, tweets out later, like, hey, difficult result. Us and the boys are going to get back after it next game. Still more goals and less relegations than James Madison in my career. And I just thought that was top tier. Like, that's how you deal with it.
It is pretty funny when shit hits social media. Like, like the players actually, not, like, people taking the game and memeing it or whatever, when the players are actually just, like, shit-talking each other. I do love that. I'm going to say it, man. I think the Spurs hate came from... See, I thought Conte was going to be successful there because Conte has a level of success everywhere he goes, and then, kind of like Tuchel, he falls out. Had no love at Spurs.
Mourinho was there. I forgot obviously. That he was even there. I honestly forgot Conte was even there.
It's tough. Mourinho, obviously, whatever. It's weird. I didn't like Harry Kane. It's not weird, I guess, but it's just like, I don't think he does any, like, obviously scores a shit ton of goals. He's not a personality defining player that would make me dislike him. Part of me kind of likes Richarlison right now. I just think they're a fun team, and they're just like a little, they're like bad kids. It's just kind of interesting.
you and Nick have the same thing going on. Like, he'll just, like, make fun of Harry Kane every time he can on this pod. You know what it is, though?
Well, he does it. He's in spite. He's spiteful about
true.
It.
True.
Because, you know what it is, though? And I want to... Sorry. And then I'll let you talk. I'm really apologizing because this made me remember when I was on the treadmill. The fact that Nick ever thought he was going to go play for United is pure delusion. And
I don't know.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy he's not here so he can just like just overpower me with his voice and talk until he gets to speak, because I'm going to say this now. It's you are out of your mind if you thought the package that you could have delivered Harry Kane was better than Bayern Munich's. There,
yeah, I guess that's
it's guaranteed success on potentially different, like multiple different levels. It's still looking pretty good. Even the situation it is, it's looking better than it was at United or Spurs. And the amount of goals, the amount of records he could break there, it's incomparable. So it would have been a charity if he went to United. So you should be sitting there going, I don't blame him, because he could have done a good deed and he decided not to, and that's okay. He didn't spite you. So, sorry. Go ahead.
I hope that when Nick listens to this, he's not grading papers, because I feel bad for that kid. Whichever, like,
kid's getting a straight F.
Yeah,
he's gonna change the kid's answers to the wrong one.
Yeah, the thing I was gonna say is the reason why you don't like Harry Kane is when you go and play pickup basketball, and the white guy's actually good, it is kind of annoying.
I guess in a weird sense, he just doesn't seem like he almost seems like he's too perfect of like of a player out there, that he just gets to score all the goals and do all the shit. And it just made me dislike, it's like ISO basketball teams. I don't like isolation basketball. I think it's boring as shit. And listen, Son is great, obviously, but the team always went through Harry Kane, and it just just was unfun to watch, and I didn't like playing them. And he could win the game on his own, and that annoyed me.
I feel like Harry Kane, when we start talking about basketball with our dad, it's like Harry Kane's Larry Bird. Like, Harry Kane is really, really good. Like,
Larry Bird was pounding on this white thing, huh?
But it's true. It's like Harry Kane's really, really good. Larry Bird is actually really, really good. Like, not saying that, but it just looks fucking weird. You know what I mean? Like, it just looks.
Yeah, I guess.
It looks.
There's
like,
something about Luis Diaz scoring a goal that Harry Kane can't do.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of Stabby.
You're getting into troublesome waters.
No, it's not. It's the opposite of Stabby when he does the character.
You're saying Harry Kane is Flacco?
Harry Kane's the antithesis of Joe Flacco in this, where it's like, he just wanted Flacco. There's something about a pocket passer. Like, for me, there's something about a South American, really athletic person scoring a goal that I like a little bit better than a dopey white Englishman.
It is when you are watching a soccer match and they get close to like the mics or the cameras and stuff, and you can pick up what they're saying. If you hear a guy go, "Let's go!" and you hear a guy go, "Vamo!" The Vamo is way cooler.
Way better.
Like, it's way fucking better. And Harry Beyond Kane better. Is like, Harry Kane is not even just "Let's go." He's like, "Let's go, dude. Yeah, we scored a goal." And I'm just like, God, man, it just sucks.
Great,
it's just not as
great
fun.
Great chance, brother.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how to word it perfectly, but all I can do is give you what I gave you, and that's all I have.
I know exactly what you mean. We need to go see a soccer therapist, it sounds like. All right, 1-1, Bournemouth and West Ham. Good result for Bournemouth, honestly. Not the worst result for West Ham. They're in top six, which is insane, because I feel like their season's been totally up and down. But it kind of speaks to, if you're 6 through 11, you're only 7 points apart. Like, if you're 5-1, you're only 8 points apart. Like, it's like sections already in the table, it seems like.
This is an interesting thing, because like, I obviously with the game that Liverpool played this week, I was looking at like Liverpool and Chelsea people talking, and Chelsea are only in, they're in 10th, and they're only 5 points off of West Ham in 6th. But the thing is, there are, you know, three teams between them, but four total to get to 6th. And like, there's just so much inconsistency within 6 to like 13 that if you're like, oh, we can make up 5 points, okay, well, you're gonna have to win X amount of games in a row, and all these teams are also gonna have to lose X amount of games. So it's not just like 5 points, that's two wins over a team. It's like two wins over five different teams. And when you have teams like West Ham and Bournemouth, 1-1 draws, and going here, like Bournemouth playing Chelsea or Newcastle going to Brighton or whatever, it gets really, really messy. And you got to win those games against those teams in that area, and none of them seem to be able to consistently beat any of them.
It's kind of like when you're watching a football team that can only run. 10 points doesn't seem like a lot of points, but 10 points is a shit ton of points for a team that doesn't pass the ball. And 4 points in that section of the table, again, it's two results, but that's two more results than they've been getting all season, it seems like. So it's interesting.
Right.
It's
just exactly. Interesting.
Exactly. Liverpool 4-1 over Chelsea. I'm going to say this and then kick it off to you because I haven't gotten to say this in a while. Chelsea stink. Caicedo stinks. Silva, I've been wanting to say this, stinks. He's old. Badiashile stinks. And Enzo Fernandez, still not what we thought it would be. That midfield at Chelsea's so average. Just so average.
I don't know who tweeted this. I'm still waiting for Moises Caicedo to control the ground game. I'm still waiting for Conor Gallagher to absolutely arrive, which I don't even know what that fucking means. And I'm still waiting for Enzo Fernandez to display what he did in the World Cup. Hasn't done it yet. Yeah, at the end of the day, we just kind of ran the midfield. And after there was half or a quarter of a billion pounds in that midfield, not in red, by the way, I just want to say, kind of ran the midfield. Listen, we can have this talk. I'll give you the penalties. I don't even care. Because I've been saying from day one that VAR, the inconsistency in penalties across the board, at home, I've been saying, doesn't matter where you go. If your team's at home, you're probably going to get the call on the field. It's not going to get overturned. And if you're away, you're not going to get it, and it's not going to get overturned. It is what it is. It's bullshit. I agree with you. I'll give you the two penalties. We'll call it 4-3. Totally fine. Only if you give me the fact that Darwin Nunez hit the post 4 times, that counts as a goal as well. So we can call it 5-3. Feel a little bit better about yourself. You scored 3 goals at Anfield. I was actually kind of a fan of Badiashile. He got absolutely torched by a 20-year-old on the right wing as well. Manhandled by Diogo Jota through the middle of the 18. Petrovic was your best player. Gave up 4 goals. Still had a pretty good performance. Yeah, I feel so good to sit here with 2 scarves. One of them being, oh fuck, wrong side. The Carabao Cup final championship scarf that we won from Chelsea, and we play them again February 25th at 10 a.m. Be there or be square. Feels so good to beat Chelsea in an actual game since we always tie them that this is in no way going to bite me in the ass in, you know, 3 weeks. So I feel great.
I actually don't think it will. I think this team's not as good as you guys. My stat for this one.
Let me get ready.
Okay, you good? All right, you got it. Yeah. This Chelsea hate is cathartic, and listeners of the pod will know why. It's totally fine. Connor Bradley, 3 goals and assists in 2 Premier League games. Reece James, 3 goals and assists in the last 3 years. I'll just let you listen to that one. Let you sit on that.
Yeah, I wasn't going to interrupt you. Now I will, though. It's so interesting because people are talking, like, not in any serious way, but they're like, Trent better, you know, look out, whatever. He can actually go into the midfield. You know, we can have a right back. It's actually one thing that I think we've said so often in that Klopp, like, it's such a system that when they have, when Connor Bradley goes out there, it's almost like in some ways they reverted back to like the bombing wingers or the bombing fullbacks, which is what he does better. And like, they're not, yeah, you're getting the best out of Trent, right? But it's a different way of playing. And it just, I think it just kind of showed like they could still go back to those guys pushing all the way to the byline, crossing it in, cutting inside and stuff like that. And again, like you said, we sit here and talk about how many different ways Liverpool have when they sub on Diogo Jota or Gakpo, or if Nunez doesn't start and he comes on, or Luis Diaz or Harvey Elliott, and they have all these different players who can play in all these different positions. Well, they just added another where it, with some level of confidence, you're like, he could go in there and he could not only just be, you know, a guy who can do a job, he can like excel and create things at the same time. I think that's great. I think, you know, all jokes aside, it is like so important that you keep funneling people in and they keep having success so you can keep tweaking something. You don't sit there in January and say, this is the finished product, we're riding this all the way out, because all these teams are constantly adapting and you have to find new ways to beat them. So I just think it's a great sign that we have that ability.
Yeah, I mean, with you saying that, it really sparked something that I was chatting to someone else about. It's like, if you don't want to get relegated, you have one way to score, at the very least, in the Premier League. If you're a decent team, you become a decent team if you have a second way to score. Like, mid-table to maybe getting into Europe, you're a good team in the Premier League if you have three ways to score. Multiple, like, one, two, three different ways to score. I don't want this to be a circle jerk. The reason that Liverpool and City have dominated the past 5 years is it's multiple ways to play. It's not even multiple ways to score. It is the strategy and the setup can be four or five different ways as opposed to a team just trying to figure out how to score their one goal or their two goals. So it's, again, you and I are the City and Liverpool fans here. I feel bad like singling us out here, but it's true. It's just how it is.
But again, I will say like, this was started in an era where it was just us. Yeah. And again, not to be like we were the fucking best. Cause like, especially coming from me, we won one championship, like one Premier League. So like, we didn't have like a dynasty or anything, but it was a situation where we were constantly talking about those two teams because they were the two best teams. And, this fucking camera sucks, by the way. Thanks for the recommendation. and in the 4 years we've been doing it, it hasn't changed that much. Like, yeah. Especially you guys. But, like, even we've had some down years. But that's the one thing where with Klopp, and again, this is probably part of, like, the sadness that he's leaving. There's always been, like, a style and it's always been entertaining. Even that first year he came in where we didn't win every game. We lost to some teams we shouldn't have. I remember we lost to West Brom. That I was like at work and I was like, what the fuck is going on? But there was always a way to play and there was always a vision and there was always entertaining. And that's where I think we've evolved to. We're not just playing that one way and people talk about it all the time. We play that way, but we also can play like three or four other different ways if the situation allows it. So that's why I'm just, it does suck that he's leaving, but like, I'm very optimistic that we have these players.
Yeah. All right, the two big games in our pod world, and actually two of the better games this week, Wolves 3, Manchester United 4, Marcus Rashford in the 5th, Hoyland in the 22nd, I always fuck that up, Sarabia in the 71st, got one back on a pen for Wolves, it was 2-1, and then pandemonium happened. 4 minutes later, McTominay in the 75th, Max Kilman in the 85th, Neto ties it up in the 5th minute of stoppage time, and Kobbie Mainoo, 2 minutes later for Man United, gets them the winner. This was the Tucker brother derby, so it is kind of unfortunate that they're not on the pod to discuss, but valiant effort by Wolves. And Gary O'Neill is a coach this season that if this was an American sport, he'd be the front runner, I feel like, for coach of the year. Just because the story of him when he inherited the team, how much time he had, what they've been able to do now that we found out about financial fair play and why they had to get rid of all these guys and for him to piece this together. And to be honest, and I know Dylan would say this if he's on the pod, we did that Wolves podcast with Alex early in the season, and it took everything in me not to look at my these two guys, one of them my friend, one guy I just met that are big Wolves fans, and be like, you guys are kind of fucked. And you know what? They're a tough team, and they've gotten better as the year's gone on.
They have, you know, I think it was truly too. I think if you looked at that team individually, you looked at like Cunha and Sarabia, well, maybe not at the beginning of the year, but like now.
Yeah.
And Saad Kilman, and Hwang, who's not even there, by the way. You looked at like individually good players that had ability and could do something, and you kind of just wondered how they were all going to come together and be successful. And I think that's why Gary O'Neill got a lot of like stick going into that job, and like, you know, he's not going to be able to do it. They're going to struggle, whatever. And I think the thing is, he's shown in this, you know, half the season so far that he's absolutely capable of coaching players and bringing out the best in players and having them be successful, because, you know, Cunha's going to go for a ton of money, I think. Because I think that even though he might be frustrating at times, and, like, you know, lose the ball and dribble into people and shit like that, there are so many times where I watch him in the little amount that I do get to watch Wolves, and I'm like, you know, he has... What's the thing in FIFA where it's like has something special or whatever when it tells you like they're a 90 plus, you know, whatever? Yeah, like, he does. Yeah. He has something about him that you're like, in the right system with the right players around him, he could be an absolute force. It really is like a shout out to Gary O'Neill. And again, United, this is obviously like a huge moment for them. It's a very big win, comeback win away at a very tough place to play. It's never this game. It's the next one and the one after. If you can carry it into that and you can have success, then I think you get to start talking about being all the way back. But you were never in a position that Wolves were. So, like, Wolves are playing with house money at this point.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thoughts on United?
I don't know. I think that's probably their best lineup that started, wasn't it? It was Rashford, Garnacho, Hoyland, Mainu, Fernandez. Did Casemiro start?
Casemiro started.
Lucho,
Martinez, Varane, Dalot, and Shaw.
Yeah, I think that's probably their best lineup. I think, obviously, the two weak links, Varane and Casemiro. I mean, at least this season, like, Casemiro is obviously great last year. I think Varane is past it. I think Casemiro is getting there. I think, like I said, a couple pods, like the last pod or maybe the one before I was on, if I'm them, and I know this is an impossible thing to do if you're Manchester United, you just tear it all down to a degree, and you just bring in your the youth guys, you bring in some exciting younger players, and you just try to rebuild the team over, because...
Dude. I don't know if it's tearing it all down. I think you need to get really close with somebody in Saudi Arabia real quick so that you can get an extra 5 to 10 million for each of these players. The thing is, though, is like Casemiro, Varane, like Christian Eriksen. Yeah, I guess it kind of snuck up on me. This team's old in certain areas.
That's what I'm saying.
I like Hoyland. I like Rashford. Yeah. I like Garnacho. I don't like Garnacho, but I think he's good enough to be there.
I like Garnacho at this moment in time more than I like Rashford.
That's wild.
It's true, though.
All right. We hate Bruno, but we know he's good. That's, you know, but, he's not going anywhere.
Okay, but here's my thing, though. Because if you start talking about, like, realistically... If you're United and you make all the right moves right now, you start making all the correct moves, okay? Realistically, when are you competing?
How many years?
2 years.
But competing in the sense of like you're in the Champions League. I think they're 5 years away from a Prem title.
Okay, so you're 5 years away from a Prem title. How old is Bruno Fernandes going to be at that point?
How old is, yeah, okay. Yeah, but I don't know, man. That's you, they're in such a weird position.
But that's the thing. The thing is, what has to happen is it's something I say all the time. It bothers the shit out of Morgan. You have to start planning for like the team after the guys that are Bruno Fernandes' age. And I don't know exactly how many of those players there are, because I think like Martinez is like younger than him. I think Dalot is too. Shaw, I think, has to be around his age, right? Like Fernandes' age. I'm not sure. But like, I think Garnacho is obviously for the future. I think Højlund is.
Shaw's 28. Bruno's 29.
So
Casemiro 31.
I mean Casemiro is already, you know.
Yeah.
I think Mainu's obviously big. Like I said, Garnacho, Højlund, Rashford. I think can still exist now and in the next iteration. But like
Rashford, you're Rashford not 26. Winning.
Yeah, you're not winning in Fernandez's prime. You're not winning in Luke Shaw's prime. Like, you have to start looking at replacing these guys, but then you also have to still figure out if Garnacho is going to be the guy for the future, Højlund going to be the guy for the future, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to, like, start making the right decisions right now. And that's why I think, like, it's better to just... It almost seems like you're doing what Chelsea's doing, but I just think Chelsea have just bought bad, like not very good players.
Yeah.
In a lot of senses. So like you have to find somebody who can make the right decisions. And then I think you just have to commit. Cause I think right now they're so in between on everything that they don't know if they're buying older players to try to get them to compete or if they're buying younger guys for the future. I think they just keep doing one or the other and that never works.
Yeah. They're a tweener. It seems like, I don't want to disparage Garnacho because I just realized he's still 19. So who knows what that guy's career is going to be.
It could be great. It could be terrible.
Yeah, true. All right. The shock result of the weekend, only because I would have never had the scoreline for this team at all this year. Just wouldn't. Luton Town 4. Brighton and Hove Albion, no. I would have not ever had them score more than 2 goals, I thought, maybe for the season. So, look, I'm a dickhead for that. Elijah Adebayo with a hat trick. He had a goal in the first minute. 2 minutes later, Ogbene with the second goal. And then Adebayo had the 42nd and the 56th. I joked with, I forget if I said this on our group chat or if I was just talking to Dylan or someone. I don't know who I said, but like, this was De Zerbi just rescinding his name from the Liverpool manager race. Just, yeah, I'm good. Let me show you why I'm good. 4-0 to Luton Town. That's how I felt about it.
So I want to just let you know, on December 26th, Luton Town did score 3 goals in a 3-2 win against Sheffield United.
Okay. All right.
What's more shocking, Luton scoring 4 or Brighton not scoring a single goal?
I mean, good point. I don't know. This Brighton team's so weird, dude. So weird.
Again, I think it's literally a situation where, one, Luton Town are much better at home than they are away. It's a very tough place to play. 2, they're very physical. They counter. So, like, plays kind of into their hands that Brighton want to have the ball. They want to move it, score a bunch of goals, play progressive. 3, Brighton give up a ton of chances because of that. And I think something deep down, if you're, like, Luton Town, you're, like, when those chances come, you're, like, this might be it. So, I have to do it. I have to score no matter what. And then, again, I think that De Zerbi, how much he like switches that team around and even the formation, and maybe it's the same 11, but they're in different positions and stuff like that. I just think sometimes it leads to them not knowing exactly what they're doing. And so, and again, sometimes it works great and he's a genius, and he is. I think he's a really good coach, but sometimes I think it can just lead to like some really, really weird stuff happening.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think he is a good coach as well. I just thought it was funny given the circumstance of like, hey, there's going to be a really, really big job open that you're probably going to be in the running for here in a minute if you if you can close the season out well. Let me just give you my worst result of my career maybe in the same like next day. The one thing I did want to bring up, and the most important thing maybe, Luton Town out of the relegation zone. They are now in 17th. Sheffield with 10 points, dead last. Burnley in 19th with 12. Everton in 18th on 18. Luton Town in 17th on 19 points. The big thing that you mentioned before is they're tough at home, they're scrappy, and they play really, really physical. Michael, they got 9 games left at home for the rest of the season. And let me tell you some of the ones that I've kind of identified they can win. They got Sheffield United at home. They got Nottingham Forest at home. They got Bournemouth at home. Maybe not a win, but a point. Brentford at home. Everton at home. And Fulham at home. So I got 6 of their 9 games where they could get a point and I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be like, oh, that's crazy. 6 of those 9 games, which will lead me to ask you this question. What do they have to get to be safe?
They're at 19, right?
They're at 19.
35. 34.
34.
They got to get 15 more points.
That's essentially winning 5 of those 6 games.
Well, they're going to win an away game. They're going to tie or win an away game.
You think so?
I think if they're not, I think if they're close, like 17 or 18th, the last 2 games at West Ham and then home to Fulham, I think they get 4 points there.
And the big loser in all this, again, is Nottingham Forest. Because especially
for Everton.
We still, and we could be wrong, we still think Everton's not going to get relegated. Like, they got 8 wins. They've played well enough this season. They've showed us enough that that shouldn't happen, right? Nottingham Forest is still waiting to see if they get deducted points. Like,
also, if Nottingham Forest get deducted points, they're down. I think Luton are safe.
Yeah.
Because Luton still have a game in hand, too, that you're forgetting.
Yes. But in my mind, I look at that as, like, that's one less game that Forest or Everton can get a point. Not necessarily that, like, that Luton will, you know? Because they're at the bottom.
No, but it's I don't know how they're going to do that, because obviously it was the Lockyer game. It was 1-1 in, like, the 60-something minute.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they just pick that game up at some point, or they, completely replay it, or they're just going to call it a draw. But, I mean, they have better, again, like, a lot of times you look at, like, the goal difference. They have better goal difference than Forest, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yep. So they're minus 10, Forest minus 13.
If they get a draw there, they're still minus 10, and they have the same number of points, so they actually jump them too. So it'll be really close. And then if Everton don't start to show up like they did post, like right after that points deduction, then they could be in it too, because they are still 10 points down.
Yeah. Crazy to think, you know, without the deduction, Everton kind of safely in 12th.
Yeah, I also just want to say, because you basically had one guy going all Liverpool and then another guy picking 3 other people from a long list of people that could have been shouted out. Got a shout out Adebayo. I mean, he had a fucking hat trick.
Yeah.
Like, what are we
doing? Valid point.
What kind of podcast is this? We didn't shout him out. Like, yeah. Shout out to you, brother.
Big win. Big win for Luton. All right. Let's get into predictions. Michael, you're still leading the pack, my man. You are 123 and 195. I have caught Nick, 114 and 104. Nick also 114 and 104. Dylan with the best week of all of us. I think Nick was 4-6. I was 5-5. You were 5-5. Dylan goes 8-2. 107-111. He can actually go above 500 this week. I don't think it'd be out of the question for him there, which would be big. We'd be back to having all four guys over 500, which, as a podcast, pretty remarkable. Let's get into it. First game, Everton hosting Spurs. Michael, who you got?
I got Spurs. I just think that they travel well. And as long as they can keep it somewhat tight at the back, I think that they score enough goals that they can win this game.
Yeah, I got Spurs as well. Brighton, they're going to host Palace. Who do you got in this one?
Brighton. I think De Zerbi's going to be so far up those players' ass about that last result that they're going to have to pull something off.
I got Brighton, too. I got a feeling we're going to be pretty similar through this whole thing. Burnley, you got to host Fulham.
You go first.
You want me to go first?
You go first. Yeah.
I think this might be where you see Vincent Kompany out of a job. I think Fulham win this one.
Damn it, I do too.
Yeah.
I can't believe he hasn't been fired yet. And I don't even dislike Kompany, but I just can't believe there hasn't been like a decision.
They may actually be holding on to him to come back up next year.
Maybe. I don't know. That seems crazy.
That'd be very... Well, think about it. He's on a non like Premier League manager contract. Like he might not be getting paid that. I have to look into that. We'll see.
You know what? I will say I do like the idea of like letting him continue, but I guess to my like brain with like following the Premier League, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's accurate. Like, it's almost like capitalism brain when you're like, no, companies don't think that they're going to be shitty. We were assuming that these teams are going to be shitty, where actually the right thing to do would be like, hey, this guy got us 103 points in the championship. If we go back down, which statistically we probably will, wouldn't be a bad thing to keep a hold of him so we don't have to pay him and the next coach out of pocket. You know what I mean?
Yes. All right. Which also, in a sense, would be a very capitalism thing to do.
1,000%. 1,000%. Newcastle, Luton, meet the meat. Who you got?
Newcastle.
Yeah, I got Newcastle as well. Sheffield's hosting Villa. I think this is a bounce back game for Villa. Who you got in this one?
I got Villa. I have to adjust my hat. Hold on.
Got Michael on the old sketch. Bournemouth, they're hosting Nottingham Forest. This will be a good game, I think. I got Bournemouth. Who do you got?
Motherfucker, pick somebody else. I got Bournemouth too. Just again because I love Bournemouth. I want them to be successful. I like them at home. Tough place to play sometimes. I got the Cherries.
Up the Cherries. All right. I think this will be a tough
fucking
one.
Fucking camera.
Chelsea hosting Wolves. Who you got in this?
I can't. Like, I don't even care about my record. I got to pick Wolves. I can't pick Chelsea.
Damn, it's I impossible. Have a draw. I got a draw.
All right. Sick.
All right. Cool. United hosting West Ham. I got Man United. Who you got?
I do, too. I think West Ham are so, like you said, up and down, so weird. I think you had a bunch of moments this year where you could have taking it to the next game and the next game and continue to be successful. I think Man United pseudo take that next step and win this game at home.
Game of the week. Arsenal hosting Liverpool. What's going to happen?
I already looked. Everybody has Liverpool, which makes me fucking angry. I got Liverpool. I can't go against them. Even though I did go against them in the FA Cup, and I thought Arsenal would probably win that game at the Emirates, but I can't go against them in the Prem.
Yeah, I got Liverpool as well. They're just a better team. Like, Arsenal can for sure win this game, but they're not as good as Liverpool. Like, it's eye test. You just know it. Brentford hosting Man City last game of the week. I got real nervous every time Nick would send the text, fun Brentford back. And Ivan Toney has been scoring. But I got City. Who you got?
I think this is it's going to be 6-0. I know it. I think this is a way tougher game than anybody thinks.
Dickie V upset alert. I don't know special.
I don't know what the line is on this. I will take a look. I would take, if you can get like Brentford plus like 1.5, I would take it.
Yeah. You got City though?
But I think City will win. Yeah.
All right. Predictions in. Michael, you want to get us out of here on something?
No, because anything I say would be not funny to anybody but you.
We are comedians to each other, and that's it. And that's why this podcast is not bigger than it is. Episode 200, I can't believe we've done this many episodes. It's actually wild.
Yeah, 200 episodes, we are the evil Mr. Beast. All we do is take.
Yeah, all we do is take, and not as many people's time as we would like, because that would mean more listeners. No. But episode 200, in the books. Cheers.
Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.